Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. The internet's most irreverent, entertaining, fun, and interesting talk radio station. As always, you get to learn about yourself on my show. Many times I interview authors, experts, psychologists, psychiatrists, medical doctors, and other folks who can share great information with you to help you out with some of your issues, whatever they may be. But today, what I'm doing is answering a lot of listeners' questions. Because what I do is I usually suggest you to email me if you have questions or comments. Usually about my guests, what we're talking about, the subject, whether it be relationship issues or problems you may be experiencing, how to be happier, things like that. But today what I'm going to do is answer some of the questions that you guys have written me over the last couple of weeks on my email, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I've already let you all know that I'm going to be answering your questions, and I've changed the names for privacy. Not that anyone's going to really know, but what the heck? You may have a friend or someone who's listening. And it may be embarrassing. So today what I'm going to be doing is talking about some of the subjects that are a little touchy, because those are my favorites. And those are some of the most common, because we don't talk to our partners or our friends about certain things that are kind of embarrassing. So that's what we're going to do today. Maybe not that embarrassing, but I mean things that we may not understand or know, and we kind of don't want to come off like we're not, you know, savvy about certain things, or we're confused. So we all have issues. Every single human on this earth has issues. Even little ones in not understanding yet who they are in the world, trying to cope with bullies in the environment at school. And then we grow up, and then we become really insecure when we're adolescents. We really don't know who we are, but we have to find that and go with the crowd or just try to be accepted. I mean, that's the big thing. And the theme of our life is being loved and accepted for who we are. But some of us have to navigate through it. And many of us have started with a lot of difficult childhoods. So that makes it even more difficult for us to navigate through life and figure out who we are and who we want to be with and what kind of jobs we want and socially how we want to operate and how, yeah, all that stuff. Do we want to have kids? Do we, whatever. And in other words, the whole thing is about getting ourselves healthier, maybe from real negative early homes growing up, or not so bad actually, but still having some questions about who we are and why we do the things we do and feel sad feelings or unresolved feelings. But again, all of us have stuff. Every single one of us. So just know that you're in great company. Some people come into my office and they say, I know this is really weird, or you may think I'm crazy, but, and I don't. I really don't. I don't judge. I just think that, you know, sometimes we all have issues and it's okay. It's really okay. So what I'm going to be doing, like I said, is answering questions of some of my listeners who wrote me over the last couple of weeks on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you'd like to comment or have any particular questions, I'm going to put it out there for you to call me if you'd like, 323-203-0815, area code right here in beautiful Southern California, Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. Or again, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So what we're going to be talking about today are some of the subjects dealing with understanding our mate better. Understanding men, primarily. According to my first email I'm going to be reading, what makes men tick? Well, I have no idea because I'm not a guy. But what I do know, after seeing people for 15 plus years in my therapy practice and in hospitals and clinics, I do know that, you know, I've gathered information about some of the characteristics of men and the way most men, many men, think. So I'm not going to generalize and I'm not going to be sexist. But I'm just going to share with you some of my observations about men and sort of generalizations about many of the men that I've seen and the way they think and what they've told me, how they think. And I could be wrong because there's so many exceptions. But I'm doing this because I got an email here from Cassie. And she wrote me, "Hey, Doc, can you please give me some suggestions of how I can better understand my fiancé? We've been together for a year and a half, and we're getting married in October of this year." Congratulations, Cassie. Awesome. "He's the most amazing guy I've ever been with, and we always tell each other that we love each other. But it seems like things have changed a bit. We were always together, except when we went to work. But for the past couple of months, he's been going out with his guy friends more often. He says he's doing hiking, which I'm not really into, so that's okay. And he's going to the gym a lot more with his friends. Also, sometimes I don't feel like he's actually listening when we're talking, like he's zoning out and thinking of other things. I get the feeling that he's getting cold feet, or he may be pulling away from me or doubting. I don't think he's cheating. But how should I deal with these feelings and changes in his behaviors?" So that's a really great question, Cassie. Ask him. Okay, next question. No. Do so. Really communicate. I mean it, Cassie. I mean, you have to sit down and share some of these feelings and say, I've noticed over the past several months that you've been doing a lot more kind of on your own independent activities. And that's totally cool. And I support you in that. Check it out with them. Say, is there anything you'd like to tell me or things you're thinking about or not? Are you getting cold feet? You know, just gentle, be gentle and ask him what's going on because you've noticed that he's been doing a lot more things outside the relationship. And please don't come off like you're accusing him of cheating. Those are just some suggestions there, but, you know, let me just tell you some of the generalizations that I have noted, throughout my years, about guys. And this is not to say that all men are like this, but this is just some of the things I've noticed, and it's okay. I know that some men prefer to show their feelings through actions rather than words. Okay? So understand that your guy may say, "I love you," and it may be by fixing things around the house or tidying up the yard or taking out the trash or if you guys are living together or just, you know, anything that makes your world a better place. It's about action. Men really appreciate that from us too. And you mentioned, is he really listening? Well, you know what? Most men don't respond when we say, "Are you listening to me?" And they go, "Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah." And it's their way of saying, "I'm listening." You know, a man isn't really saying anything. It doesn't mean he's not listening. All right? A lot of guys prefer to listen quietly and then think about what we're saying. So they're not necessarily as communicative or verbal as we are. Some really are. But I mean, generally speaking, guys really are listening. They're not zoning out like, "I don't care for you." So these are all positives that I want you to, just kind of keep in mind, Cassie. All right. And also men need times, many times for themselves. You got to understand this. I think it's really important to have independence from each other and do things with friends and get out. And this is maybe why he's doing a lot more hiking or a lot more, you know, gym work or, you know, go into the sports bar with his buddies for a couple of beers, whatever. Because I've noticed a lot of guys tell me in my practice that they need time for themselves. So whatever it may be, working out at the gym or, you know, it's important to encourage him to do his hobbies, his exercising, his fun stuff. And you got to make time for your own, Cassie. You got to have your own friends. You said that you guys used to do everything together all the time. And that's great. That's awesome. But you know what? You got to find time for you, too, to do things for yourself, whatever it may be. Go hang out with some friends. Go, you know, whatever you like to do. You know, go to the gym with your friends or whatever you like to do in terms of bonding with your friends. You know what I'm saying? Go shopping. Hey, that's one of my favorite things. Because when both partners have space to nurture their individuality, they have more time to give to each other. And then you really appreciate being with each other because you don't feel like you're being crowded or smothered or anything like that. So I've really noticed that a lot of men express to me, you know, I kind of need more time to myself and it has nothing to do with us. So I've heard this a lot. So I just want you to hear that, Cassie. So encourage him to enjoy himself and go out and do these things. It's great. And also, you know, we feel better when we exercise. So he's probably feeling better in a better mood when he sees you. I'm trying to think. You know, a lot of times we as women are more, sensitive. We're more likely to pick up on subtle signals like tone of voice or facial expressions, things like that. So that's why we have to communicate our feelings sometimes. But instead of like assuming that our men know what we're thinking, like I said to you, you know, at the beginning here, you got to just kind of share with him your feelings and ask some questions. But be direct, but you know, respectful, kindly, lovingly. Say things like, I'm kind of feeling like you're doing a lot on your own. Is there something I should be concerned about, or do you need some space from me? Be direct. You know, guys like directness. From what I hear in my practice, a lot of men just say, just tell me what's going on. And also, I want you to really, like I said, compliment him. You know, he goes out, he does his own thing. He said, God, honey, I'm so proud of you for going to the gym and taking care of yourself. That's so awesome you get to go out and do what you're doing. Showing appreciation for your guy can make a big difference in the way he acts towards you. I've seen this and heard this a lot again from guys. You know? So I just want you to think about some of these things, about directness, guys take action, that's how they show. And men just have a different way of expressing themselves. They're doers. They're not as verbally communicative and emotionally in touch with. They may be, but they just get to the point. Okay? He really is probably listening. And if you guys can also, you know, do more stuff too, whatever, on the weekends together that you both really enjoy, and that's what's awesome. So just keep some of those things in mind, all right? And I thank you so much, Cassie, for emailing me. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I'm answering your emails today on the couch here. And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And I want to thank my sponsor today for, you know, sharing some of the cool things that they offer out there for you. And the company is called Glow Soulwear. So I want to thank the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. It's sacred geometry. It's awesome to wear it. Beautiful designs, and you can dress up, and you can dress down, and you can feel cool wherever you go. So when you wear Glow Soulwear, you feel a higher vibration. So lighten up and check out glowsacredgeometry.com, glowsacredgeometry.com, and you'll see some of their really cool designs and nice shirts and other types of clothing for men and women, workout clothes. Whenever I put on one of those sacred geometry shirts, I feel like I just feel good because I look good. It's all about the shirt, honey. Thank you so much, Glow Soulwear, for sponsoring the show today. We're moving on. I'm answering your questions here on LA Talk Radio on the couch. And I thank you for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Now, this is a great email from Matt. And he knows I'm talking about him today. We kind of changed his name, but I let him know that I'm going to help him out with this question. He's been in a long-term relationship as the first listener who wrote me, Cassie. He says, I've been with an amazing woman for just over 2 years, and I am thinking that she's the one. But she has some great qualities. We get along. We don't hardly argue. Sometimes, though, she seems distant, a little too independent. She'll go out on trips and clubs. She'll go drinking with her girl and guy friends, who I know. They're cool. I'm okay with that, and I trust her, but I'm more of a stay-at-home kind of guy. I had my wild days in college. I work long hours, come home at night. I just want to have a few beers with my friends sometimes after work and then go home and chill with my lady. So he asks, are we compatible if she's more outgoing than me? What are some of the things I should think about before totally committing to her? So just over 2 years. Good for you, Matt. That's awesome. You guys sound like you have a good relationship. And like I said earlier to Cassie, you know, some people have different styles. Some men are a little more independent, and some women are. You know, we have different styles. You're a stay-at-home kind of guy. She's a little more outgoing, and that's cool. That I think that's, you know, sometimes you have to balance each other out. Yeah, make things a little more exciting. Sometimes two people will like to stay at home and veg. It gets a little boring. That way you can have space, see? Matt, you can have your space at home, do whatever you want to do on your computer or play your games, whatever you want to do. And then she can go out, and as long as you guys are getting along and, you know, you feel that she's trustworthy and you know you're trustworthy, I guess. So if she seems like an amazing woman and the one, this is great. Write down all the good things you like about her. Write down some of the things that you don't like about her. Write down the deal breakers. Does she meet any of that criteria? I always talk about that. But I also want to share with you some of the questions that I have folks who may be getting into serious relationships ask themselves before going into a marriage situation or being with the one, getting engaged, getting a little deeper in the relationship. So here are some of the things that I ask folks to ask themselves and their partners, as a matter of fact, before jumping into a really serious relationship. So, do you feel that you and your lady can be committed to each other through the ups and downs and the good and the bad times? Okay. What happens when things fall apart? This is how we can really judge, you know, the strength of a relationship, because when things happen, and stuff does happen sometimes, whatever it may be, you know, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes relatives or close ones pass away. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. Whatever. Can you get committed through the ups and downs and be on the same page? Okay. Another one is, are you guys honest with each other? And do you and your partner do what you say you're going to do for each other? I mean, do you follow through with promises? Does she follow through? Ask yourself. Ask her. Have her listen to this show in the archives if you're really concerned. Also, ask yourself, are you... and is she interested in learning how to be a better person and partner? How can I be a better partner? What could I do? Don't get insulted when they say, I'd love it if you could do this. If it's not outrageous, or if you have certain things that, you know, bug you about her, or that you're a little wary of, you can say, I'd love it if you would. That'd be cool. Without coming off like you're putting that person down. Also, a biggie that I mentioned a little earlier, do you feel you can trust your partner? Are you trustworthy? Are you? You sound like a stay-at-home kind of guy. Sound like you've got the one. She's awesome. She's lovely. She's nice. Is she trustworthy? Okay. Also, you got to ask, are you emotionally open to your partner? So what I'm talking about when I say that is... are you guys both open to talk about your family issues and past relationships or other experiences? You know, I mean, I don't think it's great to go into real deep things, especially sexually, about what we did in other relationships, unless your partner's cool with that and not sort of going to have that movie in the head, you know, the visuals of you with someone else. But you know, I just think it's really important to be open and talk about stuff in your life and past relationships, what things hurt you or what you didn't like about someone else, but you do like in this person because they don't show those negative qualities. And, you know, just other experiences, you know, what you've learned. And are you emotionally open to help your partner better? Ask your lady that, too. Okay? And is that relationship with her the most intimate and deep relationship you have? And again, do you spend quality time together? I know, like you said, you're the stay-at-home guy, but you got to ask yourself, am I willing to, you know, just like get independence and do my thing and yet spend the quality time together? Do you put her ahead of other relationships? Does she put you ahead of other relationships? Yeah, you mentioned she's out there kind of doing stuff. Going to clubs sometimes with her friends and going on trips. That's cool. But do you feel that she's putting you first? You got to ask that. Also, are you and your partner selfless? That's a biggie. Are you committed only to your needs being met? Are you focused on encouraging your partner and meeting their needs? That's important. So, and you also have to communicate openly about your hopes and dreams and fears, anxieties. You know, do you guys want the same things out of life? Got to check that out. Another biggie is your partner patient and forgiving? I mean, a lot of times we do stuff that we may not directly do to hurt our partner, but it just kind of comes off that way because we were thoughtless and we weren't thinking of them. We all do it. We all do things. And people are sensitive and they may take things wrong. So if you talk about it, your person is open with you. You gotta kind of work with someone. Are they patient and forgiving? And also, do you admit your own faults? You gotta be humble. You gotta get that ego out of the way sometimes. Do you own the stuff you do that is not really cool? Do you apologize and really mean it? Okay, you gotta check it out. Does your lady humbly admit her own faults? Does she say, "Ooh, I'm so sorry I did that"? Ooh, okay. And are you willing to be faithful sexually? That's a biggie. Because, I mean, most people want monogamy. Most people who go into a marriage, I mean, there's a lot of folks who want polyamorous relationships, as evidenced by my interview several weeks ago with the polyamorous expert, the one woman and three men gal, who decided just to have three guys because one man couldn't, you know, meet all her needs. Yeah. That's up there in the archives, too. Anyway, everybody was cool with it for a while, but then it got a little weird. But I guess what I'm saying, I do, you know, sort of wander sometimes. But you got to just kind of define if you guys want sexual faithfulness. What kind of relationship do you want there? And I know that's a no-brainer, but, you know, some people don't. Some people go, I don't know if I could hang with monogamy. That's a biggie. So, Matt, thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I hope I helped you, you know, answer some of your questions. If you guys would like to email me, I have some of the emails coming in, questions. That's really cool. I'd like to throw this one out there because this is a common problem that I hear from a lot of us. I think most everyone suffers from it. And it's guilt. Oh, my God, the dreaded G word. Most of us have some kind of guilt. Most of us. Some don't. Some who have certain personality disorders don't feel guilty. They don't own what they've done, even. And they don't have a consciousness about other feelings. But that's another whole show. This is interesting. This is from someone who calls herself the woman who is consumed by guilt. Oh, man. Here we go. Ready, guys? I feel guilty about asking for what I need in my marriage. I can't enjoy a movie if my husband doesn't pick it. I can't tell him no. If he asks me to take on responsibilities, which really encroach on other commitments and plans, I can't say no. On my birthday, I chose a restaurant to celebrate at. I couldn't enjoy the dinner because I was too worried about what others were thinking about the restaurant. Oh, my God. In situation after situation, I avoid making decisions. I avoid telling others no. At the end of the day, I pay for my guilt-ridden existence by feeling trapped in my obligations and responsibilities. I live a life of repentance, of sins that I never have committed. I become imprisoned by the prohibition against making any demands or stating any wishes. Wow. Being myself is totally guilt-inducing. Is this normal? Am I neurotic? Whoa. Okay. Thank you, the woman who was consumed by guilt. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you're dealing with that. Because, I mean, I think all of us feel guilty about certain things we've done. And I don't know what your past has been like. But, yeah, certain things happen because we feel really guilty. It can be really difficult. I'm thinking back about a client I had years and years and years ago. And she had told me how her dad had told her that the reason why he becomes suicidal is because he thought that his daughter did not love him. Oh, my God. So, you know, it was terrible. She internalized this message as like a perpetual guilt about her actions and what she didn't do and did do. So then she told me that she felt guilty about, you know, expressing her needs or feelings, that she had the power to destroy people she loved. So when she expressed her needs, it would hurt other people. So she, and I remember just thinking about this poor woman and, oh my God, how could she deal with this? You know, how can we overcome a lot of those guilt feelings and how can we move through guilt? So it can be good, like I said, sometimes. And I thank you, by the way, for emailing me about your guilt feelings and how difficult it is. I just wanted to share that story with you guys and how tough it is, because we all do deal with guilt, but we have to sometimes, you know, excuse ourselves for doing things that we may have done that were legitimate to hurt other people. I mean, this is not legitimate, being accused by your parent that you're the reason why they're suicidal. Because you don't love them enough. That's pretty dysfunctional right there. But the good thing about guilt, let's go to the light side. Let's not focus on the dark side. It actually encourages us to have more empathy for other people, like I said. It encourages us to improve our actions and you know, take good care of ourselves. And we've got to just get off our own backs. A lot of codependent folks I see, you know, take the blame for others' behavior because of their low self-esteem. So guilt needs to be kind of distinguished also from shame, where we feel inferior, inadequate, or, you know, like bad about who we are versus what we did. So what we have to do is, you know, we have to just sort of, yes, take responsibility for past actions. If you really did hurt someone, yeah, own it. I did that. And sort of, what were your needs back then at that time when you may have hurt people, or what do you feel guilty about? What were your motives? How did you handle some of the difficult things growing up? Was this the way you reacted? Your survival mechanism to deal with something. Were you a cheater? Were you a liar? Did you do these things? Yeah, I did. Why did you do it? I didn't tell the truth because I didn't feel like I wanted to be judged, whatever it may be. Okay. How did that action affect you and others? I feel guilty. And they're mad at me, or they never stayed friends with me, or they dumped me, whatever it is. Who did you hurt? So what you have to do is you have to, like, sort of apologize to those people if you're still in touch with them and you're feeling really bad about what you've done. Make amends. I've learned. I'm growing up. If they don't want to talk to you or don't respond to you, that's fine. That's okay. That's all right. Because you're changing now. Okay? So I don't know, you know, why you feel so bad. The lady who was consumed by guilt who wrote me all the time. And I'm just putting it out there that maybe someone made you feel really guilty growing up all the time for having your own thoughts and having your own actions, not feeling good enough about yourself. But what you have to do is just write yourself a letter of empathetic understanding and appreciation and forgiveness and allow yourself to have your own thoughts, have your own needs, have your own restaurants. Not worry so much about, it's not being narcissistic, you know. It's not being selfless or selfish, rather. It's being really healthy for you to have your own needs and wants and, you know, identity. You know? I just think that you deserve to do the things you need to do. If you have a bunch of people around you who are making you feel guilty for having your own mind and thoughts and needs and wishes and all that, then you need to reconsider how to sit down and talk with these people in your life or have some therapy with them and express to them that you feel guilty all the time. You just have to work through this, and I think a lot of it is based on, you know, our early upbringing. And I feel really bad that you have to deal with this constantly because it can be an ongoing thing that can keep us from living our lives the way we need to live them. Constant guilt. Yes, you do deserve. We are all independent individuals with our own minds, needs, fears, actions. But we also, you know, get to enjoy those things. And the people we're with who are healthy will encourage us to do the things we need to do and will love us for our choices and who we are. Unless you're constantly hurting other people, you got to find out why you're doing that. You're constantly being nasty or putting it out there, and you're not trustworthy or whatever. But it sounds like you're a pretty nice person and just feeling guilty. So I really suggest you also get therapy for what makes you feel so bad about your own identity, who you are, and wanting to do the things you need to do. But thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. On the couch with Dr. Michelle, you are on LA Talk Radio right now. And what I'm doing today is I'm reading emails from listeners who have written me the past couple of weeks about some of their own personal issues and things that they need to get through. This is something that I've been dealing with for many years in relationships. And this comes from Melody. And it's about emotional abuse. A lot of people don't know what it is. A lot of us, you know, men and women can be emotionally abused. I'm not talking about physical abuse. That's pretty blatant. We know what physical abuse is. You don't have to ask that. But emotional abuse is a whole other thing. And I'm seeing it more and more. You know, women are coming to me, men are coming to me saying, is this emotional abuse when my spouse does blank or when my girlfriend does blank? So here we go. Melody. Okay. I've been married for 3 years. It's gotten worse with my husband, who seems to be criticizing me and putting me down a lot more. He used to tell me how pretty I was and was proud of me for my hard work. But I know he was always a controlling kind of guy. I didn't mind it because we usually got along and enjoyed doing things together. But I know they're usually the things he likes to do. For the past 6 months, he seems to be angrier at me and has started calling me names like being too lazy to clean the house or stupid and not smart enough about our finances. He wants me to be sexier. He doesn't seem to be interested in my point of view anymore about things and is now criticizing some of my family members. He tries to avoid being with them and doesn't want me to be with them anymore. I have to sneak out to visit my sister and her husband. He doesn't hit me. Do you think he's emotionally abusive? Good question. I have no idea. I don't know. But I will tell you what emotional abuse, some of the things, you know, that we can look for in emotional abuse. First of all, you know, it's defined as any non-physical behavior or attitude that controls, intimidates, subjugates, demeans, punishes, or isolates another person by using degradation, you know, putting them down, by using humiliation or fear. So, Melody, I want you to think about those things. Do you feel degraded? Are you humiliated in public, maybe? Are you fearful? It sounds like there's more degradation here, more putting down, but I don't know. Okay. So, you know, there's a difference between experiencing or inflicting emotional hurt and being emotionally abusive. Okay. Abuse is kind of a cycle. I want you to really hear this, Melody. Okay, it's not a once in a while event that happens and hurts somebody else. Okay, because in many ordinary, like hurtful cases that I see and I hear about and that I have experienced in my life, apologies can be offered. You know, if they're truly sincere. And you can heal the rift that hurts caused. We all name call sometimes. We all, you're just a, whatever. We do that. We try not to do that. But it happens sometimes. So a lot of hurts are unintentional. You know, and if they were, there's hopefully remorse on the part of the person who makes us feel hurt. Okay? You know, we can talk about it. But with emotional abuse, there is none of this. Okay? It's so different, you know, because, I mean, it is. It's tapping away at someone emotionally, and it can make us, gosh, questioning our own self-worth, make us feel guilty, like the last person who wrote in. It make us cry, withdraw, give us sleep disturbances. We become more extremely dependent on an emotional abuser. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. We feel trapped and alone. So there's all these things that we can feel. I want you to ask if you're feeling all these things. All right, Melody, just kind of feel all these things. And what I've read about people who are emotionally abusive, you know, I don't want to stereotype, and I'm not telling you that your husband is this way at all. I want you to get clear on that. I want y'all to also understand that I'm not giving you therapy here on the radio. We really don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving you some advice, statistical information, suggestions on what I have seen and what I have read about certain things, you know, no matter what we're talking about here today. So I just want you to know that. Whether we're talking about understanding how men operate. Again, these are all generalizations and things that I've read and seen in my practice. How to find the right person. Is this person marriage material? What is that? I don't know, but it's what I've read makes relationships work. What is guilt? I know from many years of working with people who have guilt. What's the root cause? This is just information and statistical analysis of things that I've read and heard. All right. So this is just information that I'm going to share with you, you know, about emotional abuse and some of the stuff about the profile of someone. And it's usually about someone who ultimately needs to be in control. Okay. An emotional abuser usually feels inadequate. They usually kind of have these distorted beliefs about their partner or men or women or whoever the emotional abuser is. They usually have weird beliefs about marriage. And they usually learn from an abusive father or mother, whoever it is, or another dominant influence in their life. Okay? Or someone, you know, that is due to a lack of a decent role modeling, you know, in growing up, whoever their caregiver was, how to treat men, how to treat women. And I'm not putting this on men particularly. Women can be emotionally abusive as well. Okay. Not all cases, but in many, emotionally abusive people can be manipulative, heavy-handed. They keep their partner under their thumb. A lot of times, you know, what comes to mind is they're like self-referenced. In other words, that means they only see things from their point of view. They really are incapable of looking at things from another person's perspective. So no matter how much you try to, you know, express what you need or your perspective, it's real hard for the emotional abuser to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's the way it is. And it's sort of a, oh gosh, selfish or self-referenced person. So these are like two different words. And they can be described in this way. So think about this, you know, when I tell you about these kind of descriptions. The self-reference person would give you the shirt off his or her back. But they don't know you need it, okay? The self-reference person frequently violates the marriage partnership by acting without thoughtfully considering their partner's point of view and needs. Okay. The abusive partner is also emotionally dependent on their husbands or wives. His or her feelings of self-worth comes from being married or being in a relationship. But most emotionally abusive partners are unable to look and examine themselves and why they engage in this kind of spirit-killing behavior against a person that they want to love and cherish. They just kind of don't see it sometimes. So that's what happens. And I want you to just, you know, think about these things. And only you can answer these questions. If you want to have partner therapy, I would suggest you go do it. If you think you're in an emotionally abusive relationship. And if your partner will go with you. But I would see, you know, a specialist who can help you with these questions. Because I'm just giving you an idea of what I've seen and some of the things that I've read. You know, about that. This is Dr. Michelle here, and you're on the couch with me here on LA Talk Radio. And I want to thank my sponsor for today's show. It's Glow Soulware. Sacred Geometry is what it's all about. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Sacred Geometry is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. Beautiful clothing help you dress up and dress down, whether you go to the gym or whether you go out with some friends, want to be looking good. Because when you wear Glow Soulware, you feel a higher vibration. Lighten up and check out glowsacredgeometry.com. Some of their designs are beautiful. And they have them in different colors. And, you know, again, it's sportswear and it's also, you know, tees and looking good stuff. Check it out. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring today's show. I want to go back to something really quick before we close the show today, because a lot of it had to do with self-esteem. This was sort of a theme in today's show that I read from a lot of folks who wrote me. It's the theme that's going on with people. So I want to impart to you some really important things to remember to help your low self-esteem. All right. Whether you're in a bad relationship and you feel bad about yourself, whether you think that your partner may be cheating on you, whether you have a lot of guilt feelings, as we talked about earlier, whether you feel like you're being emotionally abused, whatever it is, a lot of the main underlying theme here is low self-esteem. We're not sure of who we are. We don't feel strong enough about ourselves to really get a clear picture of who we're with, or why we're taking things wrong, or why someone is sort of imposing their issues on us and we're allowing it. You know, so let me just give you some ideas to think about before we close out the show here about your self-esteem. Okay, just to remember some of the things. And this is for people who need it. And that means all of us. All right? You deserve more. When you're having a low self-esteem day, remind yourself you deserve more than all the negative beliefs that you've cloaked yourself in. All those nasty things. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I don't look good enough. I'm not that. Stop it! You have one life, as far as we know. But why not live it now? Hey, you may believe in the afterlife, but let's get into this one. As long as we're here. Really? I mean, you have a limited number of days. You're young, you're having a good time. Don't waste your time. Do you want to let others determine how you'll live? Don't give up your knowingness about yourself to make others feel like they can stomp all over you. And you know something else? So many of the personal fears related to upsetting other people, yeah, it's about learning to live with discomfort. You know, it's not comfortable making other people angry or you feel their judgments or criticism, but you can live with it. I mean, everybody else has their own stuff. You know, you just got to draw boundaries sometimes for people who are really hurtful. You know, but you can feel incredibly empowered by being more assertive, speaking your mind. And claiming your needs, your personal authority. It doesn't mean that you have to be, nasty. Yeah, assertiveness is different from argumentative and angry. Different. Mistakes and failure are good. Yeah, you beat yourself up, you guys who have a lot of low self-esteem. We all make mistakes. we're messed up in some way, and therefore we view ourselves as worthless because we aren't perfect. Anybody who is successful will tell you they reach success on the stepping stones of failure and mess-ups. For years, the wise folks say the only way you can move forward and learn is to make mistakes and mess up. And learn from it, move on, and do better. Mistakes and failure reveal a willingness to take risk and just try. Put it out there and try. Action always helps. Take action. Don't ruminate on how bad you're feeling about yourself. Do something positive and productive. Do it. Beauty is overrated. I want to tell this to so many young women I see out there, and guys too, but come on now. In my research on self-esteem, I found that most of us hate our appearances or dislike it in some way. We feel bad about ourselves as a result. But you know what? Most people can never meet the expectations of what media shows us. And it's all a facade. We're all physically flawed, as we would think in some way. But you know what? You be you. Love that which you are. Comparing is toxic. Appearances are deceptive. All right? And I want you to think about some of these things, guys, because, you know, I love y'all, and I appreciate you all writing in and listening to me here on the couch on LA Talk Radio. Enjoy your life. Enjoy every day. I always say that do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. It's not narcissistic, because healthy relationships begin with self-love. You got to just practice self-love, honoring your own needs and desires, being compassionate and forgiving of yourself. And that's the way to do it. This show will be up in the archives tomorrow with more information. And you can feel it out, see what things you learned from today, and respond to me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And again, we're talking about guilt and cheating and low self-esteem and kind of some qualities of men that are good, yeah, and also beating ourselves up. All right, thanks, guys, for listening. Next week, I've got a great show. We're talking to a medical doctor about men's sexual needs, the real truth about guys, and really what they need, and some of the fears, some of the myths in society about men's sexuality. Really a great doctor. He's awesome. You're going to love it. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful week. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.
But I see you in the corner of the